It's time for Around the Ozark Sports Scene, brought to you by Fast Break Sports, the largest selection of cards and card supplies in Southwest Missouri. Now here's your host, Scott Puryear.
Welcome in to another edition of Around the Ozark Sports Scene. I am Scott Puryear. As always, thank you for giving me a few minutes of your day to listen into the podcast. We do this weekly, and we try to round up great sports guests each week from local, regional, and national perspective. Whoever we think is a hot topic, we try to get them on here. And we're going to talk with Nick Athan of Chiefs Blitz, talk all kinds of Kansas City Chiefs talk the week before the NFL draft. Of course, a lot of stuff in the news with Rashee Rice. We'll touch on all that here in a little bit in our guest segment. But as always, we start out with our what to watch in the local sports scene for this week. And it's a pretty limited slate as we've hit the post-basketball world. Of course, watching the transfer portal comings and goings is a lot of fun. Arkansas with the big hire last week of John Calipari, who's starting with a clean slate with his roster down there. Zero players coming back, so he's on the prowl for guys. Konzo Martin has added one at Missouri State already. We'll see what the Lady Bears do as well. But our what to watch, Missouri State Baseball Bears, they will start a streak of 9 consecutive games on the road. It starts on this Tuesday of this week as we tape this podcast when they've got after the game with Mizzou this Tuesday. They go to Mizzou next Tuesday. The way they always play that each year is 1 week here, 1 week there. But that next week will be part of that 9 straight on the road. They're at Valpo this Friday through Sunday in Missouri Valley Conference play. Bears dropped 2 out of 3 at home to Illinois Chicago over this past weekend. They're now 13-19 overall, 4-8 in the Missouri Valley. So it's time for the Bears to do their usual late April, May surge to be playing their best baseball come Valley Tournament time next month. On the flip side, Drury baseball has stayed hot. The Panthers, Coach Scott Nasby, are 20-15 overall, but they are 18-6 in Great Lakes Valley Conference play. They took 3 out of 4 from Illinois Springfield over the weekend out at the new refurbished Metter Park. They've got a Tuesday game this week at Missouri Southern. This Friday through Sunday, they're in Kansas City taking on Rockhurst in league play there as well. So lots of baseball, lots of great high school baseball going on right now. Great weather. Get out and check some out. Special guest on this week's Around the Ozark Sports Scene is the editor founder of Chiefs Blitz and has a great podcast himself, 4 Guys in a Bar. He is Nick Athan. Nick, thanks for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure, Scott. It's great to hear your voice again.
So Chiefs Blitz tell us a bit more about the site.
Yeah, as you know, for those who know my past, you know, I ran Warpaint Illustrated for about 13 years, and about a year before Patrick Mahomes was drafted, I retired. Stupid decision on my part. And about last summer, I kind of got the itch to move back to the Midwest into the Joplin-Carthage area, and I decided I wanted to have a voice, so we started ChiefsBlitz.com. We put up content all the time. We have a YouTube show called 4 Guys in a Bar presented by Chiefs Blitz. And, you know, we're just, you know, this is the way we used to do it in the old days. We would just banter and talk and not really have a plan and just whatever comes out of our mouth and whatever topic we want to go. And I kind of wanted to do the same thing with the website and the podcast. And then of course we got a lot of, you know, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of stuff too. Podcasts can be found on Apple Podcasts too. So, you know, we enjoy it. It's fun. And, you know, please subscribe and check us out. It's the best thing I can do.
Absolutely. And, you know, for a guy like me that follows the Chiefs, when I need to get caught up, that 4 Guys in a Bar is a great podcast because you guys are hitting so many different subjects and topics, and you got 4 of you, obviously 4 Guys in a Bar. Are those just longtime friends of yours, or who are they?
You know, the Lou, the senior member, and I have known each other a while, you know, on social media. The other two, When I started this thing, and I think you were one of the first to respond, you know, I was just looking for people that wanted to get involved, and so Hans and Andre, we met at a restaurant in Kansas City, hit it off, and they had a show that did on Saturdays, and you know, it just was a good fit. So we tried about maybe 15 shows before, maybe we got to 30 before we kind of hit a stride, and we got used to each other. You know, it takes time to develop rapport. You know, just like it takes time for athletes to adjust to their teams. I mean, it was kind of a similar process. And right now we're just grooving, you know, we just hit the play button and whatever happens, happens.
Well, the NFL draft coming up next week. I kind of wanted to get you on before the crunch of requests and data next week and information. And before we get started with some of that talk, will we be referring to this team as the Fort Worth Chiefs down the road, or is there anything to that threat to move them out of KC after the stadium vote failed?
No, you know, there's just some opportunity. The mayor of Dallas kind of being opportunistic, and even Jerry Jones chimed in and said, hey, he would love to have an AFC team in Dallas because, you know, obviously they're in Fort Worth. Listen, there is no chance, zero zilch, that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to move anywhere but about 25 miles west to the Kansas side. That's it. They're not going to San Antonio. They're not going to go to Dallas. A lot of that rumor stuff is just, you know, people just looking for their 15 minutes of fame, I guess, because if the Chiefs moved out of the Kansas City area, and that includes Kansas side is exempt, but they would no longer be the Kansas City Chiefs. They'd have to be a different team. And you're talking about all that branding, all that history to rebuild a fan base in a new city. I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got the greatest football player on the planet right now, and probably arguably going to be in the top five all time when it's all said and done. You're not doing anything but building a cathedral for the king, and the king is Mahomes. So, no, they're not going to move to Dallas or anywhere else, San Antonio. They probably will end up in Kansas City, Kansas, near the Legends, for those familiar with the area. That's where the NASCAR track is, where Sporting KC plays, and where the Monarchs play as well. So there's talk that they could move there and build a state-of-the-art facility with a casino and a practice facility and a hotel and all sorts of goodies that they can't get on the Missouri side. I think that's where they're going to end up. The Royals, who knows at this point, they may go to Kansas, they may go to Johnson County, but I think both teams, in my personal opinion, have no interest in negotiating with Jackson County any further.
Has there been overtures from the Kansas state government that, hey, we'd love to have you? Has that been going on for years or not?
Yeah, that's been going on for a while. I mean, Laura Kelly, the governor of Kansas, I mean, I got to give her props because she has definitely been pushing toward this a great deal. And one of the things that was interesting about her is she was on stage for the last Super Bowl party down at downtown Kansas City. And, you know, Mike Parsons, the governor of Missouri, was there as well. So, you know, that was kind of a shock to some people that she was there. But, yeah, she's champion. She's got the money. She's got the commitment from the area, from business owners. They've got the land. They've made an offer. Now, whether or not the Chiefs accept it or not remains to be seen. But, you know, Governor Kelly's rocking Kansas right now. She's done a lot to help at KU in building and getting some stuff done for their new stadium that's going up for their new district. So, you know, at the end of the day, Scott, you know this better than anybody. It's all about the coin. It's all business. The NFL is a business. And if it's good business for the Chiefs to build a dome stadium in Kansas to where they can get a Super Bowl and a Final Four, that alone, you know, plus the PSL seats that Clark Hunt will sell, he can build anything he wants over there. So I think it's going to happen. I would be shocked if it didn't at this point, and I don't think we're going to find out. I don't think this is going to be a long process. I think at some point before the Chiefs kick off this year, I think we're going to know where they're going to be playing in the future.
Well, one other thing that for now is up in the air, by Chiefs kickoff time in September, Rashee Rice, after his mess down in the Dallas area, back in his home area with the racing incident on the highways and the accident, 6-car pileup. Are there any concerns that he will or will not be in a Chiefs uniform in September? Is there likely an NFL suspension coming at some point?
Yeah, well, long-term, I think he'll still be a Chief. I think short-term, you know, the legal proceedings, he's got 8 counts. All of them, I think, are going to be plead down. He was filed papers. Two of the victims have filed a joint suit of $1 million and then $10 million in punitive damages for $11 million. I don't think they're going to see that kind of money. They'll probably settle that thing at some point. But the NFL will weigh pretty heavily on the fact that he, you know, was speeding and racing and he left the scene, even though he has yet to be charged with leaving the scene of an accident, which I find is very odd. You know, listen, he's in communication with the Chiefs. He's got a great lawyer who's very well connected. I think the Chiefs, the lawyer, the prosecutors in the NFL are kind of all working together. This is not a bad kid. It was a stupid decision. And this is what happens, you know. You and I have seen this for decades. When these young kids come in the NFL and they have success and they have their entourage and they go out and do stupid things and they're drag racing on a highway and you leave in the scene and, you know, it just was a bad look for the Chiefs. It was a very bad look for Rashee Rice. But to this point in his life, he hasn't gotten in any trouble. He never had any issues in SMU, never had any issues his rookie season in Kansas City. You know, was working with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason before the accident with Hollywood Brown. And, you know, this was a shock to all of us. So a lot of people are out there saying, well, the Chiefs should cut him or get rid of him. That's not going to happen. He's too valuable to this team. But I think 4 to 6 games probably would be a likely suspension. So we may not see him until probably the end of October.
You know, and you mentioned the leaving the scene. Just one of the most bizarre videos I've ever seen with guys just rather calmly getting duffel bags and walking away. I mean, they didn't flee, as the word is used. It was more of a,
correct,
we're out of here. And you know, speculation 100%, but you got to think they were facing maybe some other hot water if they didn't leave because of what might have been or not been in those bags. But
yeah,
and,
exactly.
And you're right. It's bizarre that that has not even popped up in the charges, you know, the leaving the scene. But
it is strange that that's not there. And, you know, there was a playbook found reportedly or allegedly. There was some checks found. There was some, apparently there was some marijuana under the legal limit in Texas. So, you know, a lot of this stuff was blown out of proportion. But at the end of the day, it still was a stupid thing that he did.
Absolutely. So, NFL draft next week in Detroit, always a fun time for football fans. Does the Rice situation change maybe or tweak a little bit the Chiefs' approach to the draft because of a possible suspension, because the wide receiver room could be a little thin now? You mentioned Hollywood Brown, and we'll get to him in a second, but you're going to have to count on guys like Kadarius Toney and others.
Yeah.
And so do you think they go into the draft with a little different mindset about wide receiver this time now?
I think they're taking a wide receiver no matter what. I don't think this changes anything. In fact, if I was them, because of the depth of this wide receiver class, I would probably go wide receiver, you know, round one or round two and three. I think they still need to find a tackle. I'm not sure what they're going to do with the left tackle position yet. But this wide receiver class, I mean, you can go through this top 20, maybe 25 when it's all said and done, and you can find probably – I would say 15 starters out of those 25. And the other guys would be good role players. I mean, it's so deep. It's the deepest class I've ever seen. And the Chiefs, they're looking at all these wide receivers, and I think they're going to draft one in the first or second round. I don't know yet. I kind of, like I said, Scott, I mean, they really don't have a left tackle. They got Wanya Morris right now, and there are some good tackles that are probably going to slide because of the quarterback run that we're going to see at the top end of the draft. So it's possible to go there. But to answer your question, yes, they'll draft at least one, probably two wide receivers when it's all said and done.
Got some extra picks in 25 in the Jenarius Sneed deal with the Titans.
Right.
Do they maybe package those and try to move up, or do you think they stay at 32 in the first round?
I I'm with you on that one. I think the reason that Brett Veach was adamant about getting that third round pick next year was so he could use it to move up in the first round. I mean, you know, if Worthy slides, you know, Xavier Worthy from Texas, that could be a guy that they, you know, they jump on. You know, that's the pop. Roman Wilson, the wide receiver from Michigan. You know, Adonai Mitchell seems to be the fit. I mean, he seems like the perfect football player for Patrick Mahomes. You know, 6'4". You know, he's got that size. He's got that Randy Moss kind of ability. You know, he's still a little raw. There's some things he doesn't do well in route running, but, you know, he'll generally find the ball. And that's what the Chiefs are looking for. So, you know, they could trade up ahead of Buffalo, who's desperate for a wide receiver. You know, but then again, if Brock Bowers flips the tight end from Georgia, you know, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I go all in on him. You know, I give up a 1 and a 1 and maybe a 2 and a 3 in the following years to try to slide up. If he falls in that 12 to 15 range, which I don't think is going to happen. But there are a few concerns about him. To me, he's the number one guy next to Joe Alt, which they're not going to get, the tackle from Notre Dame and John Alt's son, a former Chief. But if Bowers slides, I'm going all in. I don't care what it costs me. That's the one player in this draft that I think can impact the Chiefs for the next 5 to 8 years at that position. And for him to learn under Travis Kelce for a couple of years, he would be an immediate impact for Kansas City.
I agree. And you know, you mentioned the receivers. It is just a rich receiver draft, probably more so than many, many years. You know, another kid, Brian Thomas, the LSU guy, 6'4", and runs a 4.3 40. There's nothing that says he doesn't wind up being as good or better than Marvin Harrison Jr. That's how balanced this receiver corps is, because there's people at the top that are not as sold on Harrison Jr. as, was it Neighbors, the other LSU kid?
Yep.
And then, how do you say, Udunze, the Oregon receiver?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got a terrific class, and right now it's kind of like the beauty in the eye of the beholder. Rumbadunze is from Washington. He's a redshirt junior.
Yeah.
Again, 6'3", 215. You know, and I'm with you on Harrison. I'm not as high on him as everybody else seems to be. And plus, here's the caveat. He's made it perfectly clear, and his agents made it perfectly clear to NFL teams, he wants to play for the Colts, where his daddy played. And I think people have to really take a look at that and see if he's serious about, you know, how badly he wants that to happen. So that's my concerns. Malik Neighbors, I mean, they did a sabotage piece on him a couple of weeks ago, and he might be the best receiver out of this entire class. So again, it's so deep, and there's so many options for the Chiefs that, you know, even Troy Franklin, the kid from Oregon, even though he's undersized, well, he's underweight size, 187 pounds, you know, he had 25 touchdowns in the last 3 years. You know, if Sky Moore doesn't develop, you know, he's going to get another chance, then, you know, maybe he's the guy that replaces Sky Moore. So, again, Brett Beach has a lot of strength in the position of being 32. You know, if a tackle drops, you know, do they take one of the top left tackles? There's going to be probably 4 or 5 left tackles taken in the draft. I don't think you can find a left tackle after the second round. I think it's impossible. It's pretty thin at that position. So, you know, use whatever draft picks you have to get the guy you want. I mean, and it's probably going to be an under-the-radar guy. I mean, we never thought Trent McDuffie was on the Chiefs' radar 2 years ago. And thankfully, you know, they had that extra pick from the Tyreek Hill trade. They made the move up in front of the Bills to take the player that they wanted. So, will lightning strike twice? Will the Chiefs take the wide receiver the Bills want by moving up in front of them? You know, it could happen.
Do you like the Hollywood Brown signing? You know, and I'm a qualifier. I'm a lifelong OU football fan, which OU,
right?
KC is about becoming OU North with all the guys on there. And, you know, you mentioned Wanye Brown. That's a guy that, you know, when he came from Tennessee, it was like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just let him play and he developed. And I know Chiefs fans and probably the Chiefs brass would love to be able to stick him there and let him play and develop and get better. To see where that goes with that. But Hollywood Brown, you know, had his moments in Baltimore, had his moments when he had Kyler Murray. Is he a good fit with Mahomes?
Oh, yeah, he's a perfect fit. I mean, I think what I was most impressed, I mean, the signing was terrific. It's a one-year deal. They'll probably extend him at some point. But the day after he signed, he was in Texas working with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's dedication. That's rare. That's a guy who wants to be there. And they've been working almost every workout, you know, between the two of them have been together. And he's posted a bunch of stuff on Instagram. He is a perfect fit. He can accelerate. He has speeds. He knows how to sit. He knows how to sit down in routes. He's got great hands. He knows, at times he's going to have to be a decoy for Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice when he gets back on the field. You know, he understands his role and he's eager to learn. And Patrick Mahomes has stated multiple times, including yesterday, how excited he was to learn the offense, to be involved. But he said his mind and his will to learn, you know, he hasn't quite seen before. And I think that says volumes. And listen, this kid could have picked any team. he wanted to be with the Chiefs from day one, even before free agency began. There were hints that, you know, he wanted to play there, and his agent structured a deal that made sense for the Chiefs based on the fact that at that point, they had not traded L'Jarius Sneed, so they didn't know what their salary cap situation was going to look like, but they made it work. He's excited. I think this was the best free agent wide receiver out there that found a home with the best possible fit. There's some other receivers that signed, and you got some questionable areas of how they're going to fit into their new teams. But I think the Chiefs got this one right.
There's going to be some opportunity there, it sounds like, if Rice faces a suspension to start the season. Who do you have more belief and faith in actually being able to step up, Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney? Because it's two guys that can't seem to get out of their own way for a variety of reasons.
Well, that's a really good question, Scott, and I kind of vacillate between the two because I you know, Sky Moore did everything right in college, came out of college, was a great route runner, had yards after catch, caught everything, understood routes. Just he did everything right, and then a year later they get Rashee Rice again in college, number one, almost number one at all the categories that NFL teams look for. But for whatever reason, Sky Moore just hit a funk, and he just never got out of it. And you know, he had an injury, he had a lack of confidence, which he had his rookie year as well. And of course, you know, he makes the big catch in the Super Bowl and the big punt return against the Bengals. So you're thinking, well, sophomore year, but he hit that wall and he hit that slump. And then with Kadarius Toney, I still say, outside of Brown, he's the best wide receiver on this football team. And it's not particularly close, in my opinion. He just can't get out of his own way. Last year, I think he had a baby. The Chiefs kind of, you know, didn't want him on the field and really wanted him to grow up. And then, you know, last week he shows up in Texas working out with Patrick Mahomes. So that tells me, you know, that he's going to be a part of this team. And further, you know, Andy Reid spoke to the media yesterday, and he was very clear. He's a talented kid. We like him. We expect him to be, you know, a guy who's going to be available this year and play meaningful minutes and make big catches. So I think, you know, this is a contract year for him. I still think of the two, there's no question that Toney has the most talent. And I think he'll get the best opportunity, and with the new kickoff rules, you know, I think he would excel at that. And I think the Chiefs have to get him on special teams, because when he's on special teams, he is a better wide receiver when he gets his reps on the field. So I think that's something they're going to look at.
And of course, talk about the ultimate right place, right time guy, Mecole Hardman. I know there was talk in late February about possibly bringing him back. Is that stalled, or is that not going to happen? What do you think?
I don't know if that's going to happen or not. He's not in a hurry to sign. He's been working out with Tyreek Hill in Miami, but I think he lives down there in the off season. So that's not anything that we should read into, you know, anything. But listen, he came in and, you know, he made some nice plays for them. And when he came back, and I think if the Chiefs have an injury and he's unsigned, I think they bring him back, but they won't bring him back unless they've got a roster spot for him. And right now, I'm not sure that they do.
Touched on Travis Kelce a while ago, and of course Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, that'll be, I agree, I think he's a top 10 pick by somebody, maybe even Harbaugh there at, was it five with the Chargers? How much is left in Travis Kelce's tank? You know, I think we saw a little bit of slippage end of regular season, then he picked it back up postseason like he usually does. But what do you see? How many more years can they get out of him, and what does this coming season look like for Kelce?
Well, I mean, I'm of the opinion that he's probably not going to retire until they lose another Super Bowl. And, you know, even then, you know, I've maintained that he's going to play two more years. Now, of course, you know, the man's in love with Taylor Swift, and it's a great story, and he's having the time of his life. His podcast is number one. They're working on a network deal for the show. There's a lot of things going in the Kelce way of life for he and Jason. But for me, you know, he slipped a little bit last year. But, you know, he also dealt with a knee injury to open the season. And I don't think it really healed for a while. It took some time. And then with the way the offense was stumbling down the field for you know, that stretch where they were 4-5 or 5-5, you know, that took a lot on him emotionally. And, you know, once they got to the postseason, he became Travis Kelce again. So that tells me he still has it. And in big games, he's going to show up. So if he plays two more years, I think that would be wise. That's why I think the Chiefs, you know, are going to have to find another tight end at some point, either this year's draft or certainly by next year. But I think he's going to play a while. I don't think he's ready to quit football. I think he's still having too much fun. And I don't think Mahomes is going to let him quit. You know, they're going to they don't want to just win three Super Bowls in a row. They want to win four or five. That's the mentality that those two have together. And so I think he's going to play through the 2025 season. And then after that, I think he'll call it quits.
10 years from now, when we get a little space and time between their careers, when the argument comes up, best Chiefs tight end of all time, is it Tony Gonzalez or Kelce?
No, it's Kelce, no question. Uh-huh. It's. I mean, I loved Tony G. I had a blast covering him when he was in Kansas City, and he was special. But, you know, the lack of success in the postseason, the lack of getting in the postseason, you know, really hurt his career mm-hmm. and hurt the mindset. What Kelce has done in the regular season and in the postseason, I mean, like, he's got more catches than Jerry Rice. I mean, you know, that happens because you're ultra-talented and you're ultra-good, and you are a special elite player. So, yeah, in the Mount Rushmore, it's definitely Tony 1, I mean, Tony 2 and Travis 1 for sure.
You touched on it, but if somebody had told you back when you dropped out of this world for a little bit of time that the Chiefs would be back-to-back champs and win 3 out of 4, you'd have probably told them they were crazy. But, I mean, is this the new norm and the expectation now? Is it going to be just a complete shock and downer if they don't get to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, yeah. It's Super Bowl or bust every year from now on. With Reed and with Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, I mean, that's the mentality. And, you know, I tell people this all the time, and they don't listen to me. They're not old enough to understand that the biggest gap that the new era of Chiefs fans with Pat Mahomes have had of not getting to Super Bowl were two years. I spent 50 years, and I remember every one of those 50 years and all the disappointments and the ups and the downs. And when they won Super Bowl 54, I said to myself, I'm good. I'm good. They in my adult lifetime, it had to get me into nearly you know, my late 50s before I saw it. But they won another Super Bowl, and I was good. I paid history to my you know, my idol Lenny Dawson. He had Pat Mahomes. He passed the torch, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get to the championship game a year later, and they don't get it done, and then they go back to back Super Bowls. And last year was as improbable as you can even think about. I never thought they'd be able to get back this past year, but this is the norm, Scott. I mean, this is what we expect as Chiefs fans. Now, I'm a little bit more realistic. They're not going to win them all, and they're going to lose a championship game, or they're going to lose early in the playoffs. I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. But for their chances to three-peat, to be honest with you, I haven't seen a single team in the AFC that's done anything in the offseason that makes me question that they can challenge the Chiefs. If the Chiefs' offense is just 7 points or 5 points better a game, I don't see anybody that's going to seriously challenge them this year in the AFC.
And I think you're right. I mean, the teams that we thought last year, you know, of course, the Bengals lose Burrow during the season, right. So that hurt their efforts. But now they've lost Joe Mixon, you know, and then you look at the Bills and Diggs and Gabe Davis, and they're rebuilding their receiver core, and the Ravens, you know, are still the Ravens, but my gosh, the Chiefs went and won at both places last year.
Yeah.
You know, and so, no, you're right. If there's anybody that's an upstart, it might have to be the Houston Texans with Stroud at quarterback and Mixon now and Diggs at receiver. I mean, would they be the biggest threat to the Chiefs this winter?
I think so, but, you know, I again, you're talking about a sophomore quarterback, and we all know the sophomore jinx is real. Mm-hmm. It happens in the NFL all the time. You know, we saw it in Kansas City last year with a couple of players, and I think when you look at it, you have to say, okay, they've made a lot of the free agent signings. They made a lot of trades. They have to mesh, Scott, and that takes time. So for us to assume that they're going to be the winner, they're going to win back-to-back division titles in a suddenly – I would say, complicated AFC South, because all those teams except the Colts, you know, had made some serious moves. The Jaguars, the Titans, you know, spent a lot of money, and those three seem to be the three teams that are competing for the top spot. So can Stroud overcome the fact that now it's expected of him? He is supposed to win. Now, he had that experience in college at Ohio State, so that certainly helps. Because that's, you know, it's national championship, win the Big Ten title or bust, you know, at Ohio State every single year. So, you know, he has at least that part of it. He seems like a good kid. He works hard. He did some incredible things last year. And, you know, they're going to have Dell back this year as well. That offense is going to be legit. And, yeah, that is a team that, if it clicks, if Diggs doesn't become a distraction like he was in Buffalo, you know, he did the same thing in the Vikings land and got out. He did the same thing in Bills land. He's only going to be there a year, so chances are he's going to be motivated enough to get a big contract. So he'll be a good boy. But Scott, I mean, I'm with you. I think they have the talent. I think they have the coaching, but I don't see anything at this point that they can cohesively put all those new pieces together to be a serious threat to the Chiefs in 2024. But in 2025, I would say absolutely they are going to be the team that the Chiefs are going to have the most difficult time with, because of their youth, because of their experience, because of the way they play football and the way they have to, the way they put their roster together. They get it. They understand it. That's a team I'd be more worried about in 25 than 24.
We spent a lot of time talking about the offense because that's the fun side, you know, and all the fantasy football stuff out there. Chiefs on the defensive side, they traded Snead. Get your thoughts on that move. I believe they lost Willie Gay, didn't they, to the Saints.
Right.
And honestly, if you ask Chiefs fans, the knowledgeable ones, they'll say that defense is why they won that second Super Bowl. You know, it kept them in so many games. They weren't having to score 35 a game to win.
Right.
Your assessment of the offseason for the Chiefs, what do they need to address over there in the draft?
Well, my biggest priority for the Chiefs offseason was to re-sign Chris Jones and Drew Tranquil. Mm-hmm. To me, Drew Tranquil is that glue guy. He can play all three linebacker positions. And the fact that he's going to be out there with Nick Bolton and Leo Chanel next year, that's going to give the Chiefs, I think, the top linebacker trio in the division. You know, I love the fact that the Chiefs were aggressive in re-signing Chris Jones. Chris Jones is never going anywhere. It's kind of like the Chiefs moving out of Kansas City or Kansas City, Kansas area. This is where he was going to play. And, you know, you trade Snead, you get what you can for him. Snead wanted to get paid, and the Chiefs offered a contract pretty similar to what he got with the Tennessee Titans. They just offered a lot more guarantee than the Chiefs were willing to give him. And he wanted to get paid, and he deserved to get paid. He only made $1 million last year, and he is arguably the best shut down cover corner in the National Football League. So that was a big loss. But, you know, the Chiefs have done a really good job at drafting cornerbacks. And you know, Trent McDuffie was the guy that was going to ultimately be the replacement. And, you know, he, in fact, last year you saw McDuffie being the blitz corner, where Snead just basically said to Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, "Hey, I just want to cover the best receiver. That's what I want to do every game. So why don't you let me do that?" And because of McDuffie's development, they've been able to do it. So they have the replacement in hand. Shamari Connor, who they drafted last year, kind of a cornerback safety type, can certainly, it played really well for a rookie season. They've got some depth there, so I think they're going to be okay. The loss of Willie Gay, I mean, he only played about 20-25% of the snaps. He wasn't a three-down guy, and I think the Chiefs linebacker crew is better now, you know, with Drew Tranquil starting in place of Willie Gay. I think he can do a lot more. So, again, this defense is still elite, not elite. I'd say it's still top five, top ten. That's all it has to be. The Chiefs are going to score more points offensively. The defense may not give up, you know, may give up 20 points a game or 22 points a game versus 17 or 18. That's a given. You're just going to have that because, you know, some new guys are going to be incorporated, and, you know, they've got to find a couple of holes in the draft. I think they need a thumper defensive tackle. They brought in a lot of defensive tackles for visits already so far. I think that's an area where they might address in the third round, maybe even the second round. Or if one of the top guys slides in the first round, I would be okay with that as well. But, you know, I think he'll draft another corner. They'll get a defensive tackle. They'll get another linebacker for some depth purposes. But I think everywhere else, I think they're in great shape. You know, Karloftis has emerged as an elite pass rusher. Chris Jones is Chris Jones. You know, you got Mike Pinnell, who they brought back for another year. He was dynamite in the postseason. Even though he's in his 30s, he is an outstanding defensive tackle that, you know, he can't play all the snaps, but if they can find someone who can interchange with him a little bit more, then, you know, they can save him for, you know, when he shines in the postseason. But they'll definitely have to address a few areas and get some depth at some point.
Great stuff, Nick. As always, again, the site is chiefsblitz.com. Check out their Four Guys in a Bar podcast on YouTube. And do you guys do that weekly, your podcast, or how often?
Yeah, we do it Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And sometimes we throw in some extra shows. We'll be doing a lot of draft coverage. We haven't quite decided our format yet for the draft. We've never done one together. So, you know, we don't know if we're going to do live throughout the whole thing. But we'll have plenty of draft coverage as well next week.
Very good. Nick, as always, appreciate your time. Let's do it again, okay?
All right, Scott, anytime you need me, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Wrapping things up with our weekly Scott's Thoughts, my ramblings and musings on the sports scene, what I've been thinking about, what I've seen, just kind of throwing it out there. And, of course, we start with one of my favorite weekends of the year, the Masters. No better TV watching in terms of golf than watching the coverage from Augusta National, especially Saturday and Sunday with the limited commercials and just the drama that goes on there. But Scottie Scheffler proved he is head and shoulders the number one player in the world by winning the Masters for the second time in 3 years. Very dominant performance on Sunday as he pulled away from the rest of the field there. Oberg, the kid from Sweden, is going to be a player to watch for the next decade or two. Got a lot of talent, hits the ball a mile, and always smiling. Loved his personality on the course out there. But you ask me, and I think that tournament was won on Friday. If you watch the afternoon coverage, wind gusts to 35, 40 miles an hour, and great players, Jordan Spieth, Rory, others were falling by the wayside, making doubles and quadruples, and there's Scotty just making par after par in that wind and maintaining his spot up there at the top. I think that was a sign. When you're the best player in the world, you do things like that, and he definitely did. So great to see him get another Masters. Also one of the more likable guys, I think, in pro golf. Just never seems like it's a big deal to him, very humble, and we kind of like seeing that in today's world. On the flip side of that, Rory McIlroy, rumors out this week that he may be flipping to the LIV Tour. $800 million plus on the table for him to go join that effort. If that happens, he, in my mind, becomes the biggest sellout in sports history. I don't care how much money it is. When you stand on a podium and talk about how LIV is bad for golf and the PGA Tour is where it's at and where everybody needs to be, and then you turn and go for the money, that's a black mark in my book. So we'll see what Rory does in that regard. Major League Baseball in the state, the Royals are looking fun. They're looking good. Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player that the rest of the world doesn't know about. People in Kansas City certainly do, and good thing the Royals have locked him up for 10 years plus. But Royals are playing good baseball. They're going to be fun to watch. The Cardinals doing their usual tough to get going thing here early on. What in the world have they done to Jordan Walker? The kid was just a star here in Springfield. You know, got off to a great start last year. They started messing with him, sent him down a little bit, and he just hasn't quite got going this year. So hopefully it's just a slow start to the season for Jordan Walker along with the Cardinals. Springfield Cardinals, 9-0 start for the first time in their 20 years as a AA franchise here in Springfield. Playing very good baseball. They are on the road this week down in Amarillo, which is off to a 2-7 start. So who's to say the Cardinals don't come back 15-0 in their next week when they're back home again. But a lot of fun to see where that goes with this team, because typically in the Texas League, it seems like it's been a 500 or a little bit better for all the teams. Nobody really dominates. Springfield's start is very noteworthy. Lastly, I think we're seeing something special in the Ozarks. I know we're seeing something special, and I'm not sure the public is fully aware, because we have a unicorn. His name is Jackson Cantwell. He's the sophomore down at Nixa High School. You may hear a lot about him, and you do about football, because he's the number one recruit in the country in the offensive line for 2026. 6'8", 300 pounds. The kid made a 33 on his ACT. Got a lot going for him. But, you know, mom and dad are former Olympic shot putters, and it is definitely showing up on that side as well now with Jackson Cantwell. He threw the shot this past weekend 72 feet plus, which is a broke his own Missouri State record, and that is the longest shot put throw in the nation already this year, and he's just a sophomore. I believe he's within like 6 feet of setting the all-time high school shot put record, and he's got 2 years plus to do it. So going to be a lot of fun to watch Jackson Cantwell. Track and field meets are not something the general public typically flocks to, but Jackson Cantwell gives you a reason maybe to go out and watch early on with the field events that typically start right when the meet starts. So we've got a special one here right here in the Ozarks. Special thanks to Fast Break Sports, our sponsor of the show. We're actually going to go out there and tape our segment next week on what's hot in sports cards and collectibles and talk to the ownership out there. And again, we appreciate them for sponsoring this podcast. And a big thank you to all of you for listening. We'll see you next week on Around the Ozarks Sports.